Protoss have placed the artifact in a small enclave to the northeast. Your primary objective is to seize the artifact. The Protoss base lies to the north. Destroy the warp gates there to complete your bonus objectives.
Started with our Viking units, and rather than play an entire mission, I'm gonna just kind of go straight to the artifact.
Transform and roll out.
So you can see there's a Protoss base in our way, which now brings to light why Vikings are recommended technology for this mission, because if you had bought Vikings, this would be a great example of how you can bypass the forward Protoss base and fly directly around to the artifact's defenses.
Transform and roll out. Not a problem. Churn and burn. Transform and roll out. Not a problem.
Uh-oh. Well, that didn't work out so well. Well, I guess maybe this is why I have the debug build, so I can just bring in some more units. Well, I don't know if that's enough, so I'm gonna go ahead and bring in a few more. All right, that looks like enough. Let's try this again. That worked much better.
Gladly.
All right, now we get to take the artifact. Which means we won that mission. All right, so now we can go back to the bridge.
Welcome back, sir. That mission was certainly easier than we expected.
So you can see that the options here have changed, which would be the case between each mission. And on the bridge, Tychus has disappeared. So again, after you complete missions and you come back into what we're kind of calling the story mode space, the characters will have changed, you'll see new characters, some characters will have left, and the way you can interact with them will have changed. So we're gonna go ahead and try to figure out where Tychus went.
Matt, where's Tychus?
I don't know, sir. He said he had to take a leak.
In that suit? Look, from now on, keep tabs on him, all right?
Is there something you're not telling me, sir?
All sorts of stuff, Matt. Just humor me. If I know Tychus Finley, he's in the cantina right now. Keep an eye on things, Matt. I'm gonna go grab a drink.
So you find that Jim Raynor likes to drink a lot. So we've decided to add a cantina space also to the Hyperion, that you'll be able to go to at any time.
The cycle nears its end. The artifacts are the key.
The key? The key to what?
To the end of all things.
All right, thank you, Ben. All right, so you guys enjoy that?
Yeah.
You want to see more?
Yeah.
Not today. But I do have a couple more things I'm just going to kind of sum up. So, you know, like talking about those previous games, you know, one of the biggest things we're adding is the ability to choose your own mission. We really felt like that was important and something you're going to be able to do in StarCraft II. We're still keeping the concept of all the really varied and interesting missions that you saw in Warcraft 3. Hopefully we can even one-up ourselves again. You know, the StarCraft 2 editor is even more powerful than the War 3 one was. And you're going to see a lot more layered story and subplots. You know, one of the things that was really cool about Warcraft 3 was we had integrated the characters and the story into the mission, but at the same time, some of the story was hampered by that, you know, because we always had to keep the mission going. There are certain types of cutscenes we didn't want to do within the mission with the those characters. And by taking that into the story mode space, we're going to be able to do even more interesting story that you can interact with how you want to interact with it. So, and then of course the immersive universe is the other big point. You know, you can kind of see just from the planetary maps that you're going to be able to get a lot more sense of the StarCraft universe itself and the characters that reside within it. So what's next? What haven't I shown you? Well, for one, the return of Kerrigan. She's still creeping around as the Queen of Blades, so you can expect to see some major plot lines with her in the Zerg campaign and the Protoss campaign, where we're going to start talking about the mystery of the Zelnaga, which I'm sure some of the people that have been in reading the lore know that they're out there, and the artifacts that we refer to in there are actually Zelnaga artifacts that you'll learn about and ultimately start finding out who the Zelnaga are and what's happening with them, the universe itself. And now we'll take questions on either mine or Dustin's demo. So Kevin, are you gonna, where are we lining up?
Yeah, we're gonna be going ahead and lining up over here. If you do have question answers or questions for our panel. We actually have two X's, so we can start forming two lines also.
Hey, first of all, I wanted to add a quick suggestion for next BlizzCon, maybe a FAQ panel itself, because a lot of these lines are hard to get to. But getting to my question, I wanted to know, from playing these demo stations that you guys have set up, there didn't seem to be much change to the core gameplay. It seemed to play almost exactly like StarCraft 1. Is there plans on maybe adding some gameplay features?
Can you pick this one?
You want to take it?
I can take it.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so do I use, I'm on. All right. So obviously one of the things we're trying to do is hearken the legacy of the original game as much as we can. Having said that, we are trying to add as many new units and tactics as we can while still preserving that great core gameplay that made the original such a wonderful gameplay experience and such a success with our fans. We have added a bunch of new stuff that you may not have had a chance to see the demo machines today. We are trying to add a lot of mechanics to terrain, to the way the terrain functions. We have line of sight blockers, we have special Zelnaga observation towers, and these really do have a significant impact on your gameplay experience. I'd also like to further add that what you saw today was not our final experience with the Terrans and the Protoss, and that we're still working on this, we're still evolving it, and we're trying to really add a lot to this gameplay experience. So it really does still hearken to that legacy, but at the same time, gives you a very different kind of gameplay experience that sort of speaks to what StarCraft wants to be.
And I would also add to that a little bit, just I guess one of the things we're not trying to do, we're not trying to reinvent StarCraft. We're trying to reimagine it.
Hi. I have two quick questions. When are you guys going to show Zerg, and when is StarCraft III coming out?
Well, we're going to start a lot of work on Zerg actually come this next week, and we'll show them when they're ready. When we've got enough stuff to show, we'll absolutely be showing the Zerg as fast as we can to the community. And StarCraft III is a long way away.
You're supposed to say StarCraft III will ship when it's ready.
Just like Diablo, right?
Exactly.
Okay, my question is, ever since the implementation of the Armory for World of Warcraft, the community aspect has been really focused and driven. For StarCraft II, are there any plans for Battle.net to further this involvement with the community, maybe tracking pretty much everything?
Tracking pretty much everything? The answer is, are we going to expand on Battle.net? And is yes. But today is not the day that we're going to really get into all those features, just like today is not the day we're going to talk about Zerg. But to expand a little bit, I mean, if you looked at all the things that changed from StarCraft 1 to Warcraft 3 on Battle.net, you know, we added automated matchmaking, we added automated tournaments, we added web profiles. So those are all things that were new to War 3, and we're hoping to make a similar sort of jump from Warcraft 3 to StarCraft 2. So there's going to be a ton of new features that we're going to add to Battle.net, but we're going to talk more about them in the future.
I'd like to first begin with, hats off to you, gents. I mean, you guys have done a real stand-up job on this so far. So, my question has to do with the campaign. Because a lot of it seems to be free-roaming, are any of the decisions that we make going to actually affect what we have to do in the missions? Like, for instance, if we do mission A before mission C, will that somehow affect what we have to do, like, for objective-wise in the other missions?
The answer is that it might. It really depends on the campaign itself. Like, one thing I didn't talk too much about when I talked about what's next, for example, but each campaign's going to be very different from one another. So I think you get a sense in the Terran campaign that depending on which mission you choose and how much money you earned and how you spend on the technology is going to have, you know, very vast ramifications on future missions and how you play them. Now, with the other campaigns, it's going to be very different because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for a Kerrigan to be leading a mercenary troop and buying Zerg units, right? So each campaign is going to also be very different itself and kind of those sort of gimmicks in the campaign and how you progress through the story.